either reserve. You're listening to Leaders.com. Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazina astafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qala hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf wa akhihi idh antum jahilun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, inshallah we continue with Surah Yusuf. Verse number 89 of this chapter has been read in front of you. If you recall that the brothers went towards Egypt to meet Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph. This was the third trip towards Egypt. And the main purpose of this journey was to make sure that their brother Binyamin, the youngest from them all, could secure a release from Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And this time Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had also given a letter. And so this letter was given directly to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam did not know that he is my son Yusuf alayhi salam. To him, he is just another minister of Egypt. And so when this letter was given to his son Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously he knew, and he was the only one who knew that the brothers are from Canaan and they are my brothers, and my father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam has given me this letter. When he was reading the letter, obviously he became very, very emotional. And now, for him to endure and to continue in silence became unbearable. And so he started crying and also looking at the condition of the brothers, that they had suffered the famine. And this suffering that was there was visible outwardly also. And so now this was the right time after decades. Can you imagine that? Some have said after 50 years, after decades, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, by Allah, Allah has chosen the right time for him now to open up, to tell them who he really is. Subhanallah al-Azim. Can you imagine? The first trip, Allah did not give him permission. The second trip, when the brothers went to Egypt, Allah did not give him permission. He was a minister, Allah did not give him permission. But the timing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for every one of us, and that is because he is Hakim and he knows what is right for a person, the all-wise. That is why also nobody knows when death will come. Someone might think that I've still got another 5 years, 10 years. Wallahu alam. Nobody knows that. Because death will come at the right time. Just like now when Yusuf alayhi salam needs to speak to the brothers, death will also come at the right time. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accomplishes whatever He decides, what His decree is. what he wants. It is only Allah. Nobody else can stand in front of him. So much so, even hidayat, guidance only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was also reminded to his messengers, and not just an ordinary messenger, but the greatest Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Not even you, O my Nabi, have the permission to open the heart of an individual. I am the one who gives guidance. And so this is the might and the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one very beautiful verse of the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. They would often come and they would ask questions. You know, some of the questions are very foolish questions, but some of the questions are valid. So they would come to the messengers, and whoever was the Nabi of the time, they would say, we want to see miracles. We want you to do this for us. We want you to do that for us. Only then we will believe you. So they would come to the Prophet and they say to him, that tell us, when is the last day? When is the day of Qiyamah, the day of reckoning, the day of Qiyamah? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there is no doubt that this day will come. And this day is also the appointed day. Maliki yawmiddin. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. There is no doubt. You know, a lot of people were thinking that something will happen in the year 2000. Do you remember that? Everybody was anticipating also the coming of Imam Mahdi. But subhanallah, you know, only when Allah wills it happens. We are now in the year 2020. Do you remember the year 2000? Everyone was talking Imam Mahdi nikalne wale. Ab to kitne Mahdi aaye chale gaye. And now we are already in the year 2020. That is the wisdom, that is the might and authority of Allah. Allah says, only I know when the day of Qiyamah will come. Inna Allaha indahu ilmu sa'a wa yunazzilu al-ghayth. And the exact precise amount of rain, water that comes down from the heavens. That knowledge is also with Allah. Of course, the weatherman can tell you that, you know, you will have some rain here and there. But the exact amount, how much rain will come, a lot of the times it's also wrong. And where this water will reach, that knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, you know, they can't actually tell you what will happen the very next year, the weather pattern. It doesn't go that far. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And Allah knows of that child that is in the womb, what that child will be doing. Ma is not talking about gender. If it was gender, it would have been man in Arabic. Because in the Arabic language, man is used for gender. But ma, Allah subhanahu, you cannot find a mistake in the Quran, in case somebody might say that, okay, now we can identify if there's a baby boy or a baby girl in the stomach. No. Allah is not talking about baby boy or a baby girl. Allah is saying, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah knows that when this child comes out from the womb, what will be his actions? Will he be sa'id, pious? Will he be shaqi? You know, someone who will rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the fine details that is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu. وَمَا تَذْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. What a human being will do tomorrow, that is also in the knowledge of Allah. وَمَا تَذْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And where a person will die, that is also in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and Allah has decreed for him to speak to the brothers and to reveal himself and to tell them who he is. But subhanallah, he speaks to them again in a very subtle way. You know, he does not directly tell them who I am. He does not directly tell them who I am. So he says, قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفْ وَأَخِي. Look, do you people know what you did? Do you folks know what you did with Yusuf and his brother? Oh, this was a bombshell. Can you imagine that? These people were shocked and amazed, the brothers, that the minister is talking about Yusuf and his brother, Binyamin. How is that possible? Is antum jahilun? When you people were unaware of the consequences of what could happen and what will happen, you were thinking that everything will go according to your plan. But that did not happen. So do you people know what you did to Yusuf, alayhi salatu was salam? And now the brothers are looking at one another. And it happens to somebody and it happens to many people. You might meet someone and when you start talking to them, you realize, oh, this person was my school friend. This person was my school friend. And I've now met him after so many years and you want to hug him and embrace him. So now when they are looking at Yusuf alayhi salam, they are thinking that our brother Yusuf was very handsome. Our brother Yusuf was very, very handsome. For a lot of the brothers that are here also, Yusuf as in Joseph. Yusuf as in Joseph. So we have our revered brothers in case when I talk about Yusuf, what I mean is also Joseph. In the biblical language, that's his name. But in Arabic, we call him Yusuf. And Ya'qub is Jacob. Ya'qub is Jacob, the father of Banu Israel, the children of Israel. So they knew that Yusuf was very handsome. And when they looked at the minister, every time the brothers would talk about his beauty, that this minister is also very, very handsome. So now they didn't know what to do and how to start and subhanAllah, how to go about in speaking to this minister. SubhanAllah. That is why when you meet someone, it's not the right way of saying, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Once somebody knocked at the door of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi said, man, who is it? Ana, I am, it's me. Allah says, man, Allah's Nabi said, man, ana. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. Ana, ana, what is this? Ana, ana. That is why in Islam, transparency is very, very important. Even when you write a letter right in the beginning, it should mention your name. So when the person is starting to read, he's got in his mind your name all the time. That this letter is written by so and so. And so now they didn't know actually what to do. So subhanAllah al-Azim. Now they say to Yusuf alayhi salam, qalu is a plural. That means all the brothers together in one voice are saying, innaka la anta Yusuf, are you Yusuf? You know how you would say? You hesitate. Are you Yusuf? Look at the Quran. The Quran is putting a inna istifham. You know, they're still questioning. A innaka. Really, are you Yusuf? A innaka la anta Yusuf? Subhanallah al-Azim. Because he gave a hint. Do you know what you did? Nobody knows about this. This was a secret between the brothers. They threw him in the well. They sold him to the slave traders that came and he was sold as a slave. Nobody knew about this. And they just could not imagine that once upon a time a man who was thrown in the well, sold in the market as a slave, how is it possible for him to turn his life in such a way that he can become the minister? That he becomes the minister. Impossible. So now they're saying, are you Yusuf? And now Yusuf alayhi salatu was salams, subhanAllah, clearly speaks to them. Qala ana Yusuf. Qala ana Yusuf. Wa hadha akhi. Binyamin was with him. Ana Yusuf wa hadha akhi. Yes, I am Yusuf. And this is Binyamin. He did not steal. He's not a thief. Everything was planned. I know of Binyamin, and I wanted to keep him with me. وَهَذَا أَخِي Subhanallah al-Azim, Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine, my respected brothers, how it must be for the brothers, how they would have reacted? And this was the most pertinent time, you know, the best time for anyone to, you know, to be abusive, to take revenge. Because the brothers, in reality, were criminals. What were they? They plot to kill. What were they? They plot to kill their own brother, Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam. They committed a crime. And it was the right time for Yusuf alayhi salam to taunt them, to be abusive, to remind them of the things they did, the wrong they did, and how good Yusuf was with them, alayhi salam, that he gave them whatever they wanted, supported them, but in return they gave him nothing. But the akhlaq of a Nabi, the character of good individuals, the pious people, the people who follow Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, ajeeb, they don't taunt people, they don't swear at people, they don't take revenge. But instead, look at the timing when he said to them, Ana Yusufu wa hadha akhi, this is Yusuf, I am Yusuf and my brother Binyamin. Subhanallah, a lesson for all of us. Qad manna Allahu alayna. He says that indeed Allah has conferred His mercy upon us. Allah has conferred His mercy upon us. This is a favor of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred His mercy upon us. Even at this time, He is remembering who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have done anything to the brothers. The brothers could have been punished. For he was the minister of Egypt, the most powerful at that time. In Egypt, nobody would say anything to him. But instead he is saying, it is Allah who has conferred His mercy, His favor upon us. The ihsan, that this is the ihsan of Allah upon us. From this ayat-e-kareema verse, we learn many lessons. Number one, what we learn, my respected brothers, there are some people who in their fitrat, in their nature, love to complain. What is it? They love to complain. And they nag and nag and nag and nag all the time, they complain. Now sometimes what happens is that if Allah has tested some people, and if they went through some turmoil, difficulty in their lifetime, for 3-4 years that difficulty was there in their life, they will only speak about that difficulty to the people. That this is the difficulty I went through, this is the difficulty I went through. When the Quran is actually telling us that when the end result is good, when Allah has removed you from any kind of difficulty, then one should not dwell in the past, but rather be positive and always think positively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has moved you from there to here. And so don't talk about your past. Don't talk about your past. Subhanallah. And these things are very, very important. That is why one very important rule in Islam is that the sins that you have committed, don't open them up in front of anyone. The sins that you have. If Allah has put a veil, a screen on top of your sins, why are you opening something that Allah had covered for you? Now, we are not Catholics that you go to the confession box, aliyadhu billah, and you speak to the priest, and the priest will then pardon you, and then you are pardoned. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives anyone. When Allah has put a screen of the things that you have done, it means that Allah loves you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you and Allah has forgiven you. So these are things that are very, very important. Now, some of the mothers that are listening, please, you know, I'm not gender bias, but you will find very often that sometimes women have this tendency. You know, sometimes you'll find that the men folks do certain things, and you'll find the women doing certain things also. But shikwa, shikayat, of the difficulties that people have faced, one should not just dwell in that direction. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse of the Quran has said, innal insan li rabbihi lakanood. That verily insan, a human with his Lord, is kanood. What is kanood? What is kanood? Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, kanood means that person who only highlights the difficulties that he has gone through in his life and does not speak to the people of the good things Allah has blessed him with. He will only remember things that are negative, things that were hard on him, but he will not remember the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. And so always remember, we see that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam went through this very difficult life. Subhanallah. And look at his life from the very beginning, what he went through. But he did not taunt, he did not speak about it at all. And what did he say? قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. But forget all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us. Subhanallah. All that difficulty, he deletes. And he says, forget that. Look at the end product. Where I am today, you people are riddled with, you know, trials. You know, you're hungry, you haven't got clothes. You look at yourselves and look at me. I am the envy of the people. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me. And so, subhanallah, this is something very, very important, that we always think of the positive side. Don't look at what has happened in the past. Look at the positive side. Alhamdulillah, Allah has removed you from that situation and now you are in this situation. Why? Because if you dwell in the past, this will open the door of depression. This will open the door of depression. Why do you want to go towards that? This is what Shaitan wants. Shaitan wants you to go back in that dark alley. And you don't want to go back in that dark alley. Do we not see also every Nabi, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he's got the jinns and he's got the ulama. He's got the jinns and he's got the ulama. The Quran is saying that. So now he talks to his audience and he says, you know what? I want Bilqis to embrace Islam. Dawat. What is it? Dawat. I always say this to the brothers giving Dawat. Always talk about Islam to people. You have an opportunity in your workplace. Befriend people. Bring them to the masjid. Talk to them about Islam. Sulaiman alayhi salam is saying, I want Bilqis and her people to become Muslims. And then he says, maybe one way to show her that I am the Nabi of Allah, she would boast of her throne. She had this beautiful throne. So he said that, you know, I wish that this throne, somebody would bring it to me. The jinns came. Where did they come? قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. The jinns came. أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَكُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. Oh, look at what they say to him. That, O Nabi of Allah, worry not. If it is the throne that you want, I will bring the throne before you stand up from your seat. How fast is that? How fast is that? What a delivery. Can anybody do a delivery like that? Packaging? Before you decide that you stand up, the throne will be in front of you. Then the sheikh and the ulama were there. They said, no, no. We are faster than the jinns because we have knowledge. We have. And these were scholars who had learnt and mastered Ismi Azam. What is it? They knew the names of Allah. And by reading the names of Allah, Allah accepts the dua. Certain things that happen. This is Ismi Azam. قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أن أتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. Before you twitch the eye. What did they say? Before you blink, before you twitch the eye. And before the Sulaiman alayhi salam could blink, it was there. They beat the jinns. By reading Ismi Azam, the takht of Bilqis was Jerusalem, Yemen. Where was it? And it was brought to Palestine. And Bilqis could not find her takht because already Sulaiman alayhi salam had the throne. Now, imagine with such power, authority, what a king, King Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salam. Subhanallah. What does he do? He puts his head down. Hada min fadli rabbi, ya Allah. This is the ihsan of my Allah. Who am I? This is the ihsan of my Allah. No boasting, no showing off. Today, when a person, subhanallah, has been given that very high position, then you need, you know, just to meet him, you need, you know, so much bookings and meetings and appointments, and he won't see you. When once upon a time he was just an ordinary person, and things change. But a Nabi, the life of a Nabi, hada min fadli rabbi, you know, this is the fadl of my Allah. And a lot of the houses, we have this frame of hada min fadli rabbi in a shop. And have you seen that? Hada min fadli rabbi, that this is the fadl, the grace, the bounty of my Allah. But we don't read the complete ayat. Liyabluwani. This is the fazl of Allah, and Allah wanted to test me. Ashkura makfur. That am I going to do shukr or am I going to be ungrateful? Am I going to do shukr or am I going to be ungrateful? And I am going to be, subhanallah, doing shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam did. Such honor, he reveals himself. He is in that position of being a minister, sitting on a high chair, on a high seat. But he's saying, قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. You know, I'm telling you something. Subhanallah. Look at the honor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was reading a kitab. Mufti Mahmud Hassan of Hindustan, the Sheikhul Hadith, he has written in his mawa'iz, in his lectures, that Isa alayhi salatu wa salam was speaking with his Hawariyun. And Isa alayhi salam would show the people, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, a lot of miracles. So he was speaking to the people of the status of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will come, and his companions. He was speaking about Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar, because this is mentioned in the Quran. مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. And who Rasulullah will be, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the Hawariyun, his companions, Hawari is the companions of Isa. They said to him, Hazrat, we have seen such miracles from your hands that it is unbelievable. You know, you give life to those who are dead, the lepers, skin disease, people who are blind, subhanallah, and you would touch them by the mercy of Allah, and Allah would give them shifa. And so one of them who was very close to Isa alayhi salam, he says, Hazrat, bas, I want to meet this Nabi who is going to come. I want to meet this Nabi. And I want you to lift up your hands and make dua for me, the companion. Isa alayhi salam said, kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every person will taste death. And when will this Nabi come? It will be a very, very long time. Nobody lives for that long. And, you know, it's not natural for a man to be walking around in the public area that he is 400 years old and 500 years old, and that visibility is there. He was a Hawari. He was not a jinn, actually. He was a companion. So he says, no, I will be in seclusion, whatever. So Isa alayhi salatu wa salam made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Bari ta'ala, one of my companions, out of love for the Nabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to meet him, and do you accept his wish? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that his wish is accepted through you, O Isa, but with a condition. He will not be a human being but his form will change into a snake. Because snake is that creation of Allah that naturally when you see a snake, you fear. What is it? It's very ajeeb. When you see a snake, you are scared. No matter how you are scared. Musa alayhi salam was also scared. So anyway, Isa alayhi salam said to him, look at the maps that were already prepared by the previous prophets. The maps. Isa alayhi salam told him that you go to this location, there is a mountain that is called Thawr. What is it? The mountain of Thawr. In that cave, you go and you rest. It is said that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was migrating with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he stopped at this cave at Thawr. And they were a lot of things in that cave and he wanted to make sure that there is nothing poisonous. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was cleaning the caves properly. And there was still that one hole that was left open, a crack in the cave inside, but there was nothing that he could fill that hole with. So Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very tired. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq did not waste time. And so he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why don't you rest your head on my legs here, on my thigh? My thigh can serve you as a pillow. Subhanallah. And with one leg, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was blocking this opening in the cave that was there with one leg, this side. And Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there. And it is said that inside this was that snake who made a promise to Isa alayhi salam that, you know, I want to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I will also give my salams, your salams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because it was blocked, the snake bit the foot of Hazrat Abu Bakr, the toes of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and was very painful. It was so painful that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq could not tolerate, and there were tears that were coming out, and it fell on the cheeks of Huzur alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi found out, and he opened his mouth and with his saliva, he rubbed the saliva on the toes. Instantly he was cured. Mufti Mahmud Saab says, and in Izalatul Khifa of Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat has also mentioned this. It's not a hadith, it's a story. So he said, he talks of this event that happened. And so the snake saw Huzur alayhi salam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq that this snake is a hawari of Isa alayhi salam and he is greeting me, meeting me and giving me the salams of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Imagine, for 550 years he is in that cave waiting to give this amanat and salam and to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you and I, we have such honor that free of charge we become the followers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so anyway, these are some of the important lessons that we learn in each ayat of the Quran. And then in the next verse, this next verse is so important. Scholars have mentioned that innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This one line is the entire summary of Surah Yusuf. This one line is the entire summary of Surah Yusuf. Just like the entire summary of the Quran is Surah Fatiha. And the entire summary of the Quran and Surah Fatiha is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the entire summary of the Quran, Surah Fatiha and Bismillah is in the name of Allah. And with the name of Allah, Surah Fatiha, Bismillah, and the entire Quran, the summary is in Ba. And then everything is summarized in that one nukta of Ba, that He alone is one. That He alone is Kullu man alayha fan. Everything will perish. He alone is one. So in this ayat kareema, the entire line is a summary of Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ. For that person who adopts taqwa. This is very important. What is taqwa? Taqwa means that you love Islam, that you value Islam, that you don't doubt Islam, that you are regular in your 5 times a day prayers, that you love Quran, that you don't commit sins openly, and if you do commit sins, then you repent to Allah quickly. This is taqwa, that you are a muttaqi person. In your heart, subhanallah, the flame of iman is very, very strong. That is taqwa. So if you have taqwa, innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir, and this very important component that goes with taqwa, and you have also patience. What is it? Sabr. Just because you are a pious man, don't expect that instantly Allah's help should come down to you. No. Allah is saying, do sabr. What is it? And if you have sabr, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, then Allah will not allow the reward of the pious to go unrewarded. That Allah will always give you the reward. Whatever good you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show it to you. Now this ayat kareema is the summary of Surah Yusuf. Why? If you look at the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, this was it. In his entire life, sabr. Thrown in the well, sabr. Thrown as, sold as a slave, sabr. When he went into the house of the minister, the governor, and he was tested by Zulaykha, who loved him and invited him towards zina, taqwa. What was it? So his entire life was sabr, taqwa. Sabr, taqwa. Sabr, taqwa. In another verse, Allah says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. If you do sabr and if you become muttaqi, then those people who are plotting and scheming against you cannot harm you. They cannot harm you. If the Muslims become muttaqi, then they can't harm you. If all of the Muslims in India today decide, you know what, that's it, we are all going to become muttaqi, then nothing can happen. If all the Muslims today of this country decides we want to become muttaqi, value Islam, love Allah, we will not openly sin, and if we do something wrong, we will repent to Allah, we will obey Allah, we have that love of Allah outwardly, inwardly, we are connected to our faith, then you see, subhanallah, everything will change very, very quickly. But unfortunately, that is not the case today. So when you actually are in that mode that you have taqwa and you also have sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always going to help you. Now, does this mean that this, in this ayat kareema, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is praising himself, that he is saying that, you know, have taqwa and if you do sabr? No, it's not, he's not praising himself. He's actually saying that this is the favor of Allah. This is the favor of Allah. Actually, he is educating people that by doing this, this is the reward. By doing this, this is the reward. Just like there is one hadith, inshallah, just a few more minutes, my brothers, that where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ بَرَّ وَالِدَيْ, those who are dutiful to their parents. مَنْ بَرَّ وَالِدَيْ, those who are dutiful to their parents. تُوبَ لَهُ, then glad tidings is for them. Then what is the glad tidings? زَادَ اللَّهُ فِي عُمْرِهِ, the one blessing Allah will give them is that Allah will prolong their age. Allah will prolong their age. They will live long. Now, living long does not mean a good life. Of course, don't think that, you know, if you're living long, then, you know, this is the nishani. Actually, a long life is not a good life. But a good life means that a life that is filled with barakat. A life that is filled with barakat. And that is what we call a good life. So these are things that are very, very important. And now, inshallah, again, thereafter, what is the reaction of the brothers? What do the brothers say? The brothers, at least they were in the right senses. What, you know, there are some people who don't admit to the truth. Even when the truth is revealed, arrogance will stop them from admitting. So what did the brothers do? The brothers admitted and they said, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ. All of them said, قَسَمْ وَاللَّهِ لَكَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has preferred you over us. Although we are also the children of a Nabi. We are also the children of a... They were the children, direct children of Yaqub alayhi salam. But Allah chose you. Allah chose you, O Yusuf. Allah has preferred you over us. وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. And the truth is that we are sinful people. What is it? Sinful people. Again, Yusuf alayhi salam had every opportunity just to shame them. You know, we talk about name and shame. You know, when you hate someone, you say, honestly, you know, actually, I forgive you, but I can't forget what you did. How is that possible? I forgive you, but I can't forget. That means you are not forgiving him. Actually, you say, I forgive, but I don't forget. This is wrong. And sometimes, you know, I've actually heard somebody say, you know, I'll never forgive you. And I even pray, Allah don't forgive you. Oh, look at the anger. I am never going to forgive you, but I even pray that Allah Pak follows me. Allah will not forgive you. Are, who are we? Allahu Akbar. Now this is wrong. Look at the prophets. At that level he says Allah has favored me. Subhanallah. Look at the words of this great Nabi. Look at the words, my respected brothers. A few more minutes. He looks at the brothers and the brothers have testified that we are sinful. You know, Allah preferred you over us. Subhanallah. You know, we are wrong. And then he looks at the brothers, La tathriba alaykumul yawm. Oh my brothers, today there is no blame for you. There is no blame for you. I forgive you. La tathrib. There is no rebuke, no condemnation. There is no shouting. There is no swearing. There is, I am not abusive to you. I haven't got malice, hatred in my heart for you. My heart is clean. قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. Not only that, he says to them, يَغْفِرَ اللَّهِ. You know what, I'm praying to my Allah, that even Allah will forgive you as I am making dua, that he was also a Nabi. يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That Allah will forgive you. And then he uses Isme Azam. Isme Azam to forgive his brothers. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. What did he say? وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He is the most merciful from those who show mercy. There is no mercy like the mercy of Allah. Ismi Azam was used to show that I want you to, Allah will forgive you. That is the akhlaq of a Nabi. That is the akhlaq of a Nabi. Allah give us the akhlaq, my respected brothers. Now, there are some people, you know, Mufassireen, they have made some reference here that how can Yusuf alayhi salam muster up this courage after 50 years of difficulty, the father going through this pitiful state and he becomes blind and how they treated Binyamin. How could he just one shot instantly forgive the brothers? Subhanallah. The scholars have given an answer in tafsir that Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, they look at that person who is doing any wrong to them. Listen to me very carefully. They look at that person who is doing any wrong to them as an instrument or as a tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants through that action for them to be elevated. For their wrong actions, for them to be elevated. So they use that to their advantage. One is to take revenge and, you know, square it up. But one is to say, no, no, we will go to that level which is very, very high. That is why I understand there is one ibadat, Durood Sharif. What is it? Durood Sharif. Now, we are told to read Durood Sharif. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. O people of Iman, send salatu wa salam. So if we are sending salatu wa salam upon Huzur alayhi salam, do you think that by sending salatu wa salam to Huzur alayhi salam, this will make Allah's Nabi any higher in status? No, bhaiya, we are sinful people. What is it? Actually, the reason why we are sending Durood Sharif is by sending Durood Sharif, Allah is going to bless us. It reflects and rebounds upon us. That is why Allah does not need our worship. Why are we worshipping Allah? You know, some people say, why do you worship Allah? Well, we worship Allah because the wrong things that we do in this dunya, by worshipping Him, Allah will forgive us. It only benefits us. So worship, you know, if we worship Allah, it's not that, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aliyazu billah, you know, Allah's level kind of changes. It's not the case at all, aliyazu billah. Even if the whole world did not worship Allah, it does not make no difference to Allah Pak, but it makes a difference to us. We need to worship because worshipping will only benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, inshaAllah. In the next session, we will now be talking about, at least the brothers have come together, and then how Ya'qub alayhi salam, the father, comes to meet his son Yusuf alayhi salam. InshaAllah, just for a few minutes, if you shut your eyes, mashallah, do muraqabah, meditate. Zikr is also something very, very important. We give so much time to the mobile phone, to the computers, to the programs that we watch. We are sitting in the house of Allah. Give some time even to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cleanse the heart and think that my heart is doing the zikr of Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سمعنا وأعطانا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.